Mike centered it, and scores! Matty McDonald!
And over at that Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
Andrews put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Going on. It is Wednesday, September 4th, as we get this hour of Flames Talk underway. Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson of Post Media along with you as we welcome you to the Sports Drive. Brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Save 40% on a Halo Smart Lock and start unlocking your house right from your phone. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com. Acknowledging we're doing this Wednesday show with an extremely heavy heart as we continue to work through all of the emotions that so many are feeling around the hockey world on the loss of John and Matt Gaudreau from late last week. So we are doing this with an extremely heavy heart on the day there will be on this Wednesday night, a candlelight vigil at the Scotiabank Saddledome and in Columbus, Ohio. So that is, believe me, if you're joining us for this hour, that is not lost on us. Same time as we work through the emotions, also back to hockey, and that is part, I fully believe, is part of the process of moving through a really, really difficult time in the hockey world. Hello to Wes Gilbertson. Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Hey, my friend. What's going on with you?
Not much. Not much. Earlier on this Wednesday, Brad Treliving joined us. That is available for you if you missed it on our podcast feed at Flames Talk. That was pretty powerful, pretty heavy conversation, mm-hmm. but beyond appreciate Brad's time. The awkward transition to hockey talk is this. Earlier this summer, you and I spent a good 30 minutes discussing potential PTOs that the Flames could bring to training camp. We went through, I don't know, I think we probably threw out like 7, 8, 9 names when it was all said and done. And one of those names we discussed was free agent defenseman Tyson Barrie. And lo and behold, we got news on Tuesday's program from Frank Saravalli that is indeed happening. The Flames and Tyson Barrie have agreed on a PTO for training camp, so does not have a contract. He will come to camp without a contract. The PTO stands for professional tryout, and so he will come on a PTO agreement to camp, which starts in about 2 weeks' time. This was Frank Saravalli from Tuesday's Flames Talk.
First off, Tyson Barrie has lots of game left. I think there's a sour taste left from Nashville and how last year kind of unfolded for him. I think he's doubled down again in terms of his training to make sure that he arrives with the best case scenario possible. I think the Flames have some open competition and ability to earn a roster spot. And I think just from a pure leadership perspective, provided that he comes in and makes the team, this is a guy that is instantaneously going to be part of Calgary's leadership core. Every team he's gone to, he's been really well-liked, and he's someone that I could see in short order wearing a letter on his sweater for the Calgary Flames. I mean, he's someone that just people gravitate to. I can't explain it any other way than that. And for a team that is in transition, for a team that has some leaders but could use more, I think there's a lot of reasons to like that.
So what do we think? What do we think of a Tyson Barrie PTO with the Calgary Flames? He was, if I remember correctly, I may be misremembering to pat myself on the back, but I don't think so.
No,
he
was, this is an accurate bat pack.
Backpack.
Backpack. Sorry.
Batpack. He was, I think he was the first name I threw out as a guy that I think would be a really good fit.
And if I might jump in,
yeah.
I think it's not that I was in disagreement on the player. I thought this was right on the heels of Broberg, offer sheeted by St. Louis, Cody Ceci.
Yep.
Cody Ceci, traded to San Jose, and the smoke around Tyson Barrie was that it was probably going to be a PTO in Edmonton, spent three seasons with the Oilers already. I thought that that might make too much sense for Tyson Barrie to be interested in a PTO with the Flames, but as we'll get into in the next 15 minutes or so, I do think that this could potentially be a nice fit for both sides.
I do too. And I think I actually really like the idea for a number of different reasons. I think even before we get into the hockey side of it, and you know, I know our buddy Mick on the text line is not a big fan of this one. I've seen a few others that aren't, and that's fine. And I'm not suggesting that you know, the logic is fully flawed. If you're like, how does this make sense? But here's why when I threw it out there a few weeks ago as one that I think would make a lot of sense, and why I still think it makes some sense now that we know it's happening. Even if it's just for camp and he ends up signing elsewhere, which may very well happen, he could absolutely come to camp with Calgary and the Oilers say, you know what, he can still play. Let's throw him a contract right now. And he might absolutely sign in Edmonton. I mean, two of the most high-profile PTOs that the Flames have signed to contracts have both been in camps with other teams. Chris Versteeg, Brendan Morrison were in Oilers and Canucks camps specifically, and the Flames signed them both to PTO to contracts rather off their PTO. So there's nothing saying that Barrie signs with the Flames, but he might. But even if it's just for camp, even if he's here for only a few weeks, I think he's a positive addition because you're talking about a guy that is unanimously, like, people rave about this guy inside the room. I remember his Colorado.
Yeah.
Like this guy is universally loved inside rooms.
I'm not sure an NHLer has been married in the past few years without Tyson Barrie being invited to the wedding. Like this guy is literally a friend to everybody in the league.
And you know, you take a look at his time in Colorado, he as much as the trade that sent him to Nashville in Edmonton was one that helped the Oilers. There's no question. Bringing Ekholm back, that was exactly what the Oilers need to help them take another step. Nobody doubts that. Nobody questions that. But the loss of Barrie was one that, like, I wish we could have done this without saying goodbye to Barrie because he was such a revered guy inside that room. And he gets to Nashville. You talk to guys on the Preds about how that guy who just got traded away from a team that had Stanley Cup aspirations, and he gets traded to a Preds team that was fighting for the playoffs at best, a bubble team at best. That was the year that they actually eliminated Calgary on the Nick Ritchie shootout. That was the year they eliminated Calgary that Barrie came over and Ekholm got moved. And again, like, the Preds were raving about this guy and what an immediate culture shifter he was as soon as he got in the room. And why and guys, I remember talking to a couple of guys off the record when they were here. I was like how are you doing this? What you're not supposed to be. You've traded everybody. You traded Janot. You traded Ekholm. You've traded everybody. What are you doing? And they're like, you have no idea what getting Barrie meant. Like it lifted a weight off our shoulders. So I think bringing a guy in like that, even if it's just for 2 or 3 weeks of camp, let alone for a season, I think there's a lot. A team that is trying to rebuild a culture, for a team that is trying to really emphasize guys who want to be here and guys who want to be a part of the solution and who want to build a positive atmosphere inside that room. Honestly, Wes, I can't think of a better guy than Tyson Barrie. And that's before we get to the on-ice stuff, which we'll get to in just a second.
Yeah, and he's been through sort of all stages of this. Like he was with the Colorado Avalanche when they were no good at all, right? And he's seen what sort of culture needs to be built for a team that is overhauling its roster, that is committing to youth. Like he's been through that part of it. He was part of a very crucial stage of the growth of the Edmonton Oilers, at least from my vantage point. And not only was he witness to the growth of those two organizations, but, you know, as you pointed out, so often referenced as an important figure. And, you know, I talk about how popular he is and that he seems to get invited to everybody's wedding. He's not, you know, when we talk about his popularity, I don't want it to be confused. And that's why I love your term culture setter. Like, this isn't the guy who, by all accounts, just wants to go have a beer with the boys. This is a guy who is going to help propel a team forward. And I guess that brings us to the next part of it. And we heard Frank Saravalli's opinion, and what we're going to find out is, can he still play? You know, he is coming off his worst season. He had, I think, one goal and 15 points last season. He was a healthy scratch at times. His analytics, you and I both know I'm not the best at deciphering those numbers all the time, but his analytics kind of across the board last season were ugly, ugly, ugly. And so can Tyson Barry play to the level that he can be a part of this? And because the second part that's going to appeal is that if he proves he can still play, you're going to try and flip him at the trade deadline, right? This becomes, in all likelihood, an asset that you would look to sort of cash in on. Say, hey, thanks for a few months, and if we can get a draft pick, go try and help a contender. And so it's up to Tyson Barry as he attends Flames training camp, and that hasn't been made official yet, but we're all anticipating it. It's up to him now to show he can still contribute.
Yeah. Well, and that's, now it's on his shoulders to come in and have a good camp and prove that, you know, whether it's a contract with the Flames or a contract with the Oilers or a contract elsewhere in the league, you know, that's what the motivating factor is now for Tyson is to come in and have a great camp. And, you know, you hope, as Frank said, double down on his training. You can imagine after spending some time as a healthy scratch and not getting a contract all summer, you can imagine there's a little bit of a chip on the shoulder. And I think that those types of slights are good for teams that are trying to find something in a player, right?
Sure.
Because now you've got a guy that is motivated. Now you've got a guy with something to prove, and that can be a real powerful thing, especially if there is lots of fuel left in the tank. So let's just assume for sake of this conversation that Barry does sign a deal with the Flames. As you said off the air on Tuesday, and I think it's really well said, is, you know, if Barry wants to sign a deal that is maybe a little bit more than the NHL minimum, Calgary might be the best place for it.
Yeah.
They don't have cap constraints. They're not looking to nickel and dime necessarily. Like if Barry wants to sign for 1x1.1 as opposed to 1x775, well, Calgary might be the place to do that. Because they don't have the cap constraints that a team like the Oilers does or many other teams right now would have. And I just, right shot defender with an opening, I think, or an open competition for a third right side defenseman, because I think we all assume Mackenzie Weegar is going to be playing the left side this year.
Yes, that's what this signals to me.
Yeah.
That the first pairing from night one of the regular season is going to be Mackenzie Weegar and Rasmus Anderson. Otherwise,
or Mackenzie Weegar and Daniil Miromanov, one of the two, because they played so well together with Weegar on the left side down the stretch last year, at least analytically they did. And so you've got those two potentials,
sure,
in the top four. That would leave potentially Kevin Ball with Rasmus Anderson and or with Miromanov potentially.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up Daniil Miromanov, because he's the first guy I thought of when we heard the PTO news on Tyson Barry. This, to me, if Tyson Barry is leaving the Saddle Dome at the start of October without a contract, if he, because sometimes we get carried away, we hear about PTOs and we just, it instantly goes, and I get the curiosity, but it instantly goes to, okay, well, where does he fit, right? We were all trying to figure out where Cody Eakin would fit on the forward depth chart, or, you know, where Sonny Milano, like, just a reminder that this is not a roster spot guaranteed for next season. And if Tyson Barry is leaving Calgary without a contract, I believe it's because Daniil Miromanov has made a statement at training camp that, hey, I'm ready for a regular role. I can play every night, and I can play in the top four. Tyson Barrie is almost an insurance policy in case he doesn't prove that, because I don't think Tyson Barrie, especially with some of the numbers he put up last season, is well fitted for a third pairing role. And you have another right-hander in Braden Pahal who is likely slotted on your third pairing. And so I think this really is a challenge in some ways to Miromanov. And I think if Miromanov delivers the performance the Flames are hoping to see from him, there might not be a spot for Tyson Barrie. And, you know, the one thing that jumps out to me, like, Tyson Barrie has throughout his career been a guy who can produce on the power play. 42% of his 500 and some NHL points have been scored on the man advantage. The Calgary Flames, as we all know, had an absolutely putrid power play last year. That's something they're looking to improve. But they also think Miromanov can be a guy who can help them improve that. So I do think, I don't think it's a head-to-head competition in training camp, but I do think if the Barrie experiment doesn't work out, a reason for that is going to be they're going to look and say, you know, there's a little redundancy here. We have a younger player. We have a guy that we acquired in a trade who we think can do the same thing.
You know, is Braden Pahal 100% on this roster? I don't.
No, but
again, like, I think similar situation. Like, I think there is a little bit of a competition. I think Miromanov is in that conversation. We know how highly Craig Conroy and company think of him.
Sure.
Because, I mean, even in the news release when they made that trade with Vegas that sent Noah Hanifin the other way, and one of the things they said is that we believe that his offense, which has been very, very impressive at the American League level, will translate to the NHL, right in the trade news release that was right there. So they obviously think very highly of Miromanov. The Pahal story was a great one last year, and he stepped in admirably when he was claimed off waivers on the right side and basically for the first time in his hockey career made himself a full-time NHLer. But I'm not... And this is no knock on Pahal, who is under contract for this year. I'm not convinced that he is an everyday NHLer at this stage. I think that he admirably performed, but could a guy like Tyson Barrie push a Braden Pahal? Absolutely.
For sure, yeah.
Could he push a Daniil Miromanov? Absolutely. And yet, to your point, because he's on a PTO, he's also not, quote-unquote, getting in the way, right?
Right. The only reason I put Braden Pahal in a separate box is because he's a totally different type of player. And if you decide that, you know, Anderson and Weegar both play with some snarl, Kevin Ball brings some snarl, like if you decide you have enough of that, then yeah, you can have two guys in Miromanov and Barrie who are more power play, offensive, specialist type guys. You could put two of them in your lineup, but the reason I have Pahal listed a little bit separately is he just brings different elements, right?
For sure.
You need to kill penalties as well, and that might be a place he fits in. But really, like, I just jotted them down. Seven of these nine guys are going to be on the Flames blue line. Anderson, Weegar, Ball, Bean, I think you can look at them as all absolute guarantees. And then you've got a mix of Miromanov, Tyson Barrie, Braden Pahal, Joel Hanley, and Ilya Solovyov. And I know what you're going to say about Zane Parekh, and I know people are going to scream about Hunter Brustevich. And listen, with a good training camp, maybe one of those young guys gets a look. But right now, I'm looking at those nine and thinking it's going to be seven of them on opening night.
You saw the glimmer in my eye, didn't you?
Hey, I saw you starting to get fired up, yeah.
But here's the thing.
Not getting in the way.
And that's just it. Like, if Zane Parekh has an unbelievable camp, and like we're talking about him, holy, like just like Matthew Tkachuk, this guy is blowing the doors off expectations at training camp. It's like, how do you not keep this guy? Well, okay, well then you don't sign Tyson Barrie, and Barrie can still have a great camp and sign somewhere else. Which I think Tyson Barry's playing in the NHL this year. I think him agreeing to a PTO in Calgary is his ticket to playing in the NHL this season. Absolutely. But it doesn't have to be with the Flames. It could be, though, and I think that there are ways that it could be a very nice fit, but it doesn't have to block the way necessarily either.
Well, you know who might be able to help a young offensive defenseman with the transition to NHL hockey?
Tyson Barrie.
Tyson Barrie.
Yeah.
You know who Tyson Barrie played for with the Western Hockey League's Kelowna Rockets for four seasons?
Is it the current head coach of the Calgary Flames?
There's a lot of links there. Yeah. This one's not happening by accident.
Definitely not. A few texts for you at 960-960. This reads from John. Only way this makes sense to me is if they trade Uyghur or Anderson. And I think that this makes sense even if they don't. But I also think that if they do end up making a trade, there's been plenty of innuendo. There's been plenty of speculation out there about both those names mentioned by John. Well, then you also have still a veteran guy, even if he's not on the same level impact-wise as either Raz or Uyghur are right now, and nobody's going to suggest that he would be, but it still gives you another veteran. You still need guys to help build a culture and help kind of lead the way through what could be a transitional phase as we think that it's going to be in Calgary. Dylan and Revy says, I really like the Barrie idea. I think if he shows well, having a really good locker room guy who can man the power play while not really taking five-on-five time from anyone's a great idea. Plus, you can pump and dump him. Some team will lose their power play quarterback and want a guy like Barrie. He also fits a different role than the guys who need NHL shots like Kuznetsov and Soloviev. He fits well. So that's where Dylan falls in on the Tyson Barrie conversation.
Let me just jump in on the previous text before Dylan. The one thing about Tyson Barrie is would he give you some insurance if you traded one of your workhorse guys? For sure. Is he a long-term solution? No. If you're looking at moving one of those guys, and I'm admittedly a little bit irked that that someone is speculating that the Flames are having a bunch of trade talks right now at the Saddle Dome when they're talking about everything except hockey. And, you know, I know this rumor bubbled up from one specific person yesterday. I don't think they're really trying hard to trade a veteran defenseman, but if you did, Tyson Barrie's not the long-term solution there.
Yeah, agreed. This is Mean Gene who says, I definitely agree with the PTO. But aren't the Flames deep on right side D? Who gets pushed out? Or do some of the current right side D have the ability to play both sides? Can Barrie play both? I think the main thing there is it almost feels telegraphed that Uyghur's going to play on the left, at least to start. As much as I think it makes more sense to have him play on the right side, and I think he's better fit on the right side. Yeah, I think that he probably starts the year on the left side. Kind of just feels like that's going to be the way it goes.
Look at the left side of the Flames' defensive depth chart, and what's missing is a guy who can clearly play on the top pairing. You've got Kevin Ball, who played all 82 for the New Jersey Devils last year and who I think slots on your second pair. You've got Jake Bean, who I know the Flames are really excited to add, but probably slots on your third until he proves he can be more than that. And then you've got a waiver claim from last season in Hanley and some uncertainties. I think Kuznetsov and Soloviev have been mentioned already. And so you could throw Grushnikov in that mix perhaps as well. But what you don't have in any of those other guys I just mentioned is somebody who's going to play on your top pairing. And that's where Mackenzie Uyghur slide into the left, I think, becomes a certainty.
Two more texts. Dan and Cochran says, if a Rasmus trade transpires this season, I'd love to have Barrie here to support the kids over the next few years. Not sure if any of the D kids are ready yet, so I don't feel he's blocking anyone this year. What's the downside? That's kind of where I am, Dan. Conversely, this from Mick. And as I said, Mick is very adamant about his vision of how this should be done. And I don't even disagree with with Mick's overall view of how to go through this whole transition. Maybe where we disagree is how Barrie would or would not impact that. But Mick writes, patience and rebuilding does not mean Barrie. He's near the end and couldn't defend well enough for the Oil or the Preds. And honestly, if Barry signs here, it is, as you said, a short-term temporary measure. I hate talking about this when we're talking about human beings, but it is a point A to point B type player. It's a transitional player who can help insulate, who can bring you something in the room. Mick, I get what you're saying, because I do think patience is key, and rebuilding is what they need to do, whether they want to call it that or not. I do think that's a process needs to be undertaken here. I just don't think a short-term Tyson Barry stint in Calgary is messing with that. Like, yeah. This isn't, you're not going out and trying to sign stop gaps to keep you X amount of competitive. This is more about culture. This is more about insulation of younger players if they go and bring, if they do end up signing to a contract.
We had a very similar conversation when they claimed Joel Hanley off waivers, right? If you get to a point where the Flames are leaving Hunter Brustevich, who's clearly ready in the AHL, and they're returning Zane Parekh, who's looked ready to junior because they want to keep Joel Hanley and Tyson Barry in the lineup, then you have reason to, you know, take umbrage with that. But right now, you're looking at those guys as short-term fixes while you wait for the kids to be ready. And I don't see anything wrong with that.
It is Pat and Wes. We are underway this hour on Flames Talk, and we're coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
Flames Talk is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Continuing along on this Wednesday edition of the program, Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you. Time to go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Always a pleasure to bring in our next guest. He is Tom Gazzola of Edmonton Sports Talk. Some huge news out of Edmonton on Tuesday, which we will definitely get to. Leon Draisaitl's record-breaking contract to remain in Edmonton for 8 more years after this one. But first wanted to just bring Tommy in to continue our conversation from the first half of this hour, and that is on a PTO for Tyson Barry, who will be with the Flames at training camp, a guy that had been linked to the Edmonton Oilers as well, where he spent parts of 3 seasons. Tommy, appreciate the time, my friend, as always. You lots of time in Edmonton. You spend a ton of time around the team, and you know a lot of these guys better than most. Tell us a little bit about what the Flames are getting, at least even if it's just for training camp, in a guy like Tyson Barry.
Well, first of all, hello, Patrick. Great to be back on with you.
It's good
and
to hear your voice.
From the city of champs. I'll just say this, heart goes out to the Gaudreau family, obviously, and the support and the love going in and around the Saddle Dome is incredible to see for a guy that absolutely torched the Oilers for almost a decade. So I just want to get that in there. And then on a much lighter note and a much more fun note, Tyson Barry, they called him Vibe Daddy around here. And, you know, he's a guy that was highly regarded by the players in the room. He was tight with McDavid, Draisaitl, Nurse. He was a guy that was hard not to like. And you could throw hard balls at him after a tough loss, and he would handle them just fine. And he would answer them with honesty, and he wouldn't BS you. If the team sucked that night, he would say it in a much more eloquent way. So, Tyson Barry, listen, I think he's a guy that, A, you know, if he does make the Flames, and I feel like he's got a good chance to, because I think that he has a lot to prove to everyone. You know, it did not go well for him in Nashville. He had an ongoing spat, it seemed like, with Barry Trotz, GM of the Preds, and that's never good, and he was in and out of the lineup. But I think there's a player there that he had some really good seasons offensively in Edmonton. People really pinpointed it as defensive game and said that's a huge area of weakness. For an old dog in the NHL, I think he actually improved his defensive side of things in his own zone, and he busted his butt to make sure that, you know, people weren't as vocal about his deficiencies in his own zone. So this is a guy that I think in the right situation with the right team could show people that he's still a player. And I enjoyed my time around him. I appreciated what he could provide on the ice. And I think that there's a guy that's still there that that will be capable to do so given the right opportunity. And I think that might be with the Flames.
Vibe Daddy, hey?
Vibe Daddy, yes. you can ask him about that one. But you know what? He's a guy that's just easy to get along with. Let's just put it that way. And Vibe Daddy was the name that was used for Tyson Barry.
And I know that he was part of a really important trade for the Oilers in bringing Matthias Ekholm in a couple of seasons ago. But, you know, even talking to a couple of guys on that Oilers team, I mean, it's like, yes, Ekholm was such a massive part, and he's been so key in getting the Oilers over the hump. Nobody disregards that. Nobody disputes that. And yet, still missed. You talked to a lot of guys, still missed Barry inside that room, didn't they?
Absolutely, they did. And I think that speaks to, A, the type of person he is, and B, the type of player he is. And then the other thing I'd add to that, too, is that's probably why there was some interest from the Oilers, at least to reunite Barry with the orange and blue. And I know that, you know, there was discussions in the Oilers hockey ops department at the possibility of bringing back Tyson Barry. I know Tyson Barry's side of things in his camp wouldn't have minded being reunited with the Oilers. And it's not long ago he was wearing, the oil drop and was a part of this team that has, you know, put together a couple of really strong seasons, almost winning a Stanley Cup. And yeah, he did, you know, bring in a huge piece on the back end for Edmonton, brought in a different type of defenseman in Matthias Ekholm, being the Viking that he is, and just a large presence, also seemed to become the Evan Bouchard whisperer. So, it did come at a cost for the Oilers in that locker room, on the ice, and even in the community, because Barry's great with people, too. But it did improve the Oilers' back end. And, it would have been interesting if he did wind up back with the Oil.
So I appreciate that insight, Tommy. And now switching gears to what was the story of the hockey world on Tuesday, and that was Leon Draisaitl and the Oilers agreeing to a multi-year extension. It's an 8-year extension, which will kick in after this season. His salary will go from $8.5 million to $14 million, so an extra $5.5 million on the cap starting for the 25-26 season. Just your reaction to the contract, your reaction to the Oilers and Leon continuing this marriage.
How about I told you so? I'm just kidding. But there was a lot of people around here that had concern that Leon Draisaitl might look to another market and that he might be ready to move on to a bigger, warmer, much easier city to live in with less scrutiny on it. And that type of thought is understandable given, you know, the exodus of stars in the early 90s, but starting in the late 80s, obviously, with Gretzky. And you move it into the next couple generations, Doug Weight, Bill Guerin, and Edmonton being a small market team that didn't have the resources to keep guys like that around. And then obviously times are different for Canadian market teams. And the Oilers do have the resources and funds available to keep guys like that around. But there were still some of those concerns. And you know, it seemed like, I've always gotten the idea and thought that Leon wanted to stick around and that he was sincere in wanting to win. And he figured that the best place to do that was here with his best friend and other best friends that seem to always be partying in different parts of the world together. And their wives are super tight, or fiancés and girlfriends included in that group as well. So it made too much sense for him to extend here, especially if they can provide the funding that he was looking for, what he deserved, what his market cried for him to, you know, get. And so they just made it all work. And you know what, Patty, like the groundwork for this deal and the general chunk of it had been laid in the months prior. And then I think they just had to hammer home the finer details of this deal. And obviously it's super heavy bonus laden too, with real money. And then the AAV, like you mentioned, the 14 mil of the next 8 years, he gets that as well. And then Connor McDavid will reset the bar. And I'll add this too, with Draisaitl signing long-term here, it basically becomes a two-for-one, because if Leon Draisaitl's signing here, you know who's following the next season, and that's Connor McDavid. And Draisaitl talked about it yesterday in his press conference. He said that, yes, him and Connor talked about it, and I think there was a huge sigh of relief, and you could hear, you know, Northern Alberta basically exasperated, be able to just give it that, collectively. So it's a huge day in oil country, and, you know, people can start worrying about the Evan Bouchard extension now.
Yeah. Chatting with Tom Gazzola, Edmonton Sports Talk, joining us here on this Wednesday edition of Flames Talk with Pat and Wes Gilbertson. Wes?
Tom, does that sigh of relief that you talk about and knowing the implications of what it will mean when Connor McDavid is eligible to sign an extension of his own, like, does that make it significant that this got done in early September as opposed to dragging into November or January or whatever it might have been?
Yeah, Wes, like 100%, because, you know, I saw and I read Chris Johnson's article, and he kind of laid out a really nice timeline of the events, and credit to the Oilers, because since Jeff Jackson's taken over, he's really buttoned up on information getting out that doesn't want to be leaked. And that's something that necessarily wasn't the case around here for a long time, but yeah, getting it done. And it sounded like Draisaitl didn't want to drag this into the season. He didn't want to have negotiations lingering over his head while he was trying to help this team win a Stanley Cup after coming so close to it last spring. And you know, that's very Draisaitl-esque in my opinion, just knowing him over the last decade or so. You know, he's very focused and said, okay, this is our window to get this done. If we don't, by the time training camp rolls around, I don't want to talk about it. And if that had happened, then all the noise, all the heat, it would get cranked up around here. Like, you know, it does, Wes, because you've been up here enough.
Sure.
And you've seen what this market is like and this fan base is like. Panic level would be through the roof. Absolutely. And rightly so. So, you know, getting the groundwork laid and the foundation taken care of this deal, you know, relatively earlier in good time, and then finishing it up before training camp rolled around, I think, you know, both sides obviously worked towards that goal, and I'm sure it wasn't always easy, but they managed to hammer it out. And yeah, it does make it a lot easier for everybody around here involved, especially the fan base, obviously the Oilers, to kind of focus on the next thing. And then the other part of it too is you get one of your huge pieces and cornerstones of this franchise focused on just winning and not worrying about his contract. And then it does lead into the McDavid extension that we anticipate next year.
You mentioned the timeline, and I think this is something that should be highlighted in this market, and we all know the Flames-Oilers rivalry, but I understand this contract might have stayed in a drawer for a few days just to ensure that the spotlight remained on the tributes to Johnny and Matthew Gaudreau. Is that true?
That wouldn't surprise me one bit. I mean, when the news about the Gaudreaus broke, we're not talking about a contract. I mean, that's so minor in comparison to what happened. And yeah, you know what? Put the rivalry aside, hockey world coming together. And obviously this deal was going to get done eventually. And I think, you know, it was probably at a point where it was so close to the finish line or almost there that they could put it aside and say, all right, well, we're not going to release this on, let's say, Friday. And obviously that's the right move. And yeah, it was definitely heading down that path. Whether there was some T's that needed to be crossed, some I's and lowercase J's that needed to be dotted, maybe they took care of that over the long weekend, or they might have been done. But I mean, yeah, you're taking a step back to awful news like that, and the hockey world needs to mourn, and absolutely no need for a contract signing to be made public and announced in a situation like that. Absolutely. And that's good respect too. If it was ready to go, yeah, like you have to do that. And kudos to the Oilers if they did do that. But yeah, it sounded like it was well on its way to being finished around that time anyway.
Classy indeed. And a nice gesture by you to give the lowercase J a little bit of love. It doesn't get enough respect in that old saying.
That is so true. And shout out to Mike Myers in Wayne's World 2 for allowing me to steal that from it, from a fantastic film.
Well said. Well said. Tommy, you know, you talk about McDavid going to reset the bar as early as next summer, and what that might end up looking like. And yeah, an Evan Bouchard contract, you know, kind of the ballpark that a lot of people are throwing around is $40 million on the cap per year for three players. How cap's going up? We know that. How tenable is that, in your opinion, going forward, to have three players take up that amount of a salary cap, an escalating salary cap, mind you?
Yeah, and Patty, like mentioning and reiterating that it is an escalating salary cap is something that is good to point out, first of all. And secondly, we have to remind people, and we're at, what, 88.5 this year, I think, and we're expecting it to get to somewhere around $100 million in the next couple of years, and the Oilers are going to need to take advantage of that. Now, is it an ideal situation to have so few players eat up that much of your cap? No, and that's understandable. But if you want to keep those players, and they're two of the best, and you know, Bouchard's great, Nurse needs to play better, and people would want him to earn his 9.25, but yes, he's probably a million or two overpaid, but they have to live with that. So it's not an ideal situation. Can it be handled? Well, yeah. And I think if it is, and they can work their way around such a big chunk of their salary going to so few of their players on the roster, it's going to come down to, you know, buyouts. They've had so many buyouts over the last decade. And you know, we watched the James Neal, Milan Lucic trade. Lucic just came off the books. Benoit Pouliot a couple years ago just came off the books. They're still paying James Neal, by the way. Yeah, and like Andre Sekera, Eric Greiba to a lesser extent. Like, the Oilers over the last decade have been dealing with buyouts. They've got Jack Campbell on the books for the next 6 years. Like, that's one element of eating up, you know, cap space, and you give dead cap to buyouts. And then the other thing, too, is this is where your drafting and development has to come to the forefront. You need your young guys in the system to be ready to step in at those lower price points. You're also going to need to lean on your pro scouting, and you need to identify guys that aren't making a ton of money that might be playing above their AAV and that you could bring in for a reasonable rate. We've seen guys take what we would perceive to be haircuts to stay in Edmonton. Adam Henrique comes to mind. We thought he would test the market and take more money elsewhere. Apparently he had that opportunity, but said, no, I want to try to win a Stanley Cup with this group in Edmonton. And that's the case. So, you know, it's going to be important for hockey ops, development side, pro scouting, to really make sure that they're insulating those core players that do cost so much with pieces that can provide and give offense and, you know, kill penalties, all the dirty stuff that needs to get done that the top dogs don't necessarily have to do. They're not, you know, the shot blockers. You're going to need to find the dogs on the ice. You're going to need to find the next Matthias Janmark in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Corey Perry's just not going to stay in the NHL for a long time. I don't even know what his impact this year is going to be like on a day-to-day basis on the ice. In the locker room, sure, but they do have some guys that they're going to have to move on from in the next couple of years, and you're going to have to replenish the talent pool with guys that can maintain and play at a level to keep this team in that contending window. So that's where it's going to have to be important for the Oilers to really focus on that aspect of developing the team. And I think that's what would make the situation workable.
Appreciate the time as always, Tommy. Thanks for spending some time with us this afternoon. Hey, be well. We'll talk soon.
All right. Babysit my brother in that building for me. All right.
Patty? I will. He's like 20 feet away. I already said that you're coming on. So he says you're a bum.
He probably rolled his eyes. Yeah, he rolled his eyes, I'm sure.
Thanks, Tommy.
Thanks, boys.
Tom Gazzola, Edmonton Sports Talk, joining us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. The best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs since 1975. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast, or call them at 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery. As we start to wrap up this hour of Flames Talk, Wes Gilbertson's on Twitter at Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat. Thanks to Carson and Cam and Shan behind the scenes as well, as we start to wrap things up this hour. And we tell you that this hour is the Sports Drive. Thanks for being along with us. Sports Drive for Calgary Lock and Safe. Save 40% on a Halo smart lock and start unlocking your house right from your phone. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.